Hello and welcome to Learn Spotfire, and in this episode we are looking at admin features since 10.3. So as you know, we've recently seen the launch of Spotfire 10.10 LTS, or Spotfire X.X LTS, if you like that way of saying things. I thought that was kind of funny. We are looking at admin features since 10.3, including some that were introduced in 10.8. These are the retention of a password in the data source when you change the JDBC URL, seamless failover of Spotfire servers in a cluster, which is very useful as we move towards cloud-ready containerized Spotfire, and the so-called mini-admin feature, which is not quite what I thought it was when I did the earlier episode about the unboxing. It is all about something completely different. So more on that story later. Let's get going. So we look now at some of the improvements to the server upgrade and maintenance process. This was introduced in Spotfire 10.8, but this week we are looking at the LTS upgrade, Spotfire 10.10, which is in use in most major corporates because they do not have the bandwidth for their larger deployments to update every 2 or 3 months. They want to update more like once a year. And therefore, for most corporates, 10.10 is their first exposure to features which were introduced since 10.3, 1 year ago. This session is all looking at administrative helps and features. So we are looking at password retention in data sources, seamless failover, and the somewhat strange thing about non-admin users and node managers, which I mentioned in the previous episode, and which turns out to not be quite what I thought it was. This strand is looking at server administration, and these features were all added in 10.8. So, various improvements to simplify the server upgrade process. What do these include? Well, some kind of esoteric things. There is the ability now to preserve previously configured Java memory properties. This is in the upgrade tool. The upgrade tool also detects unsupported database versions and incompatible driver versions, and implements a trust store that supports multiple trust stores, which means nothing to me until you realize that, in fact, in the past, trust stores could not easily be transferred between upgrades. This never particularly bothered us on smaller deployments, but clearly for a large deployment, this could be an issue, and it allows you to transfer the trust store between servers after an upgrade. So this really comes down to something which you beginners who have not done an admin update before or a big upgrade, you might not realize that really the idea of upgrading Spotfire is not what you think it is. I've written about this many times before. It is not an upgrade. It's quite simple. When you are upgrading Spotfire, what you do is install a new version of Spotfire and delete the old one. The part that can be upgraded is only the database. And I say only the database. Of course, the database includes all your reports, your user accounts. Pretty much what you think of as a Spotfire installation is actually everything that's in the Spotfire database, sometimes known as the Spotfire library. All of the config, all of the everything. What you think of as the personality of your Spotfire deployment sits in a database which can be upgraded. So yes, you can upgrade the database, but no, there is no Windows update tool which somehow magically will update your server. If you are installing on the same equipment, you simply install a parallel server, turn off the old one, test the new one, and when you're completely sure it's fine, you delete the old one. There is no single upgrade tool, which does confuse some people. And therefore, when I talk about the upgrade tool, as I am doing here, it's about the database and the config that's in the database. That's what you can upgrade, and that's what we're talking about. But the reason I wanted to really mention this is the next feature, which is the seamless session failover. So this is when you have a cluster of servers, two or more, with a load balancer. You would think, wouldn't you, as I had, that if you have a load balancer and you take a Spotfire server offline, that the load balancer reroutes those requests to the other Spotfire server, which apparently it didn't. It sort of did, but any people connected to the old server in a failed DR situation would find that they lost their connection, which also applied to WebPlay, which is even more serious. So what happens now from 10.8 onwards, whether deliberately or otherwise, if a Spotfire server goes offline, the sessions and the information about those sessions is, via the load balancer, rerouted to the up server, And same for the web player sessions too, because of course, as you know, since 7.5, everybody is now connecting to the main Spotify server, which if you have a load balancer means the load balancer. So to summarize, this works in a disaster situation where the server's gone offline for some reason by itself. Particularly of use to me and others is that if it goes offline deliberately, perhaps as a part of an upgrade, the environment, the software environment will continue to function without chucking users out. Now, this means that if you are not using it in any kind of mission critical way, you can do your server upgrades during working hours. Yes. So what you can do, very simple, install your new server, add it to the load balancer. So you now you have three or more servers. Then you take the first of the old ones, you turn it off, therefore ensuring that your user sessions are all transferred to the other two, turn it off, upgrade it, reattach it to the load balancer, bang, then do the next one, then do the next one, then do the next one. And if you do it that way, where you put the new server capacity in first before you turn off the old one, you won't lose capacity. If you are not operating at full capacity, you don't even need to do that. You can just simply turn off the old one, accept that you will have a reduction in capacity, upgrade it, reattach it, and then do the other one and keep doing that until you've finished. So this does make it way more flexible for IT managers and platform managers to achieve an upgrade. Not such an issue if you're doing it once a year, perhaps, but it might be if you've got external users to your organization, as some of my customers do, and you don't want to have to tell them, hey guys, we're going to shut you off for 3 hours or worse over a weekend. You can just do it and they don't even need to be aware of it. Quite how that works for a big upgrade where the architecture changes or something significant changes, I'm not sure. I think that might need some careful thought and planning. But for a smaller upgrade, those of you who do regular updates every 2 or 3 months, you can now do those much more efficiently. And then just to mention it, 10.8, added support for initiating OpenID Connect login from a third party. Well, if that means something to you, then you can do it. Otherwise, forget about it. The key thing there for me, yeah, little tweaks with the upgrade tool, fine, no biggie. But the seamless session failover is important, not just for admins and upgrades, but in normal usage too. It means that, in the past, if a server went down, people would have to reconnect. That is now handled automatically, and that is really important. Okay, so in this segment, we're looking at the changes to the Node Manager. And in my unboxing episode, you might have realized, if you know about this already, that I was talking out of my hat, something that I occasionally do. However, I want to defend this omission error misspeaking, because it's interesting that after 12 years of working with Spotfire, I can read the What's New section and get a completely different understanding of what that feature actually is compared to the people who wrote the article. And this happens to me a lot, so it could be my brain, but I think that a lot of this What's New stuff, especially in the community, is written by TIBCO employees for TIBCO employees. And I think if you're not even on the TIBCO dev team, sometimes you get completely the wrong end of the stick, as I did yesterday. So what I said yesterday was something like, oh, you don't need to be a full admin now to work with the Node Manager. And what I thought I meant by that was that if you are in the Spotfire web interface, the admin interface in a browser, that you can manage and see the Node Managers without having to be a full admin. This is false. Absolutely false. What it is, instead, is the ability at the Windows system level for the Node Manager service to be run as a local system account, which is what it does by default anyway. But in the past, the account used must be an administrator on the local machine. So in other words, the Windows level account, not the Spotfire account, but the Windows level account had to be an administrator, at least a local administrator. What they've done now is to provide a PowerShell script, which you run as the local Windows administrator, but it gives a non-admin Windows account the necessary privileges to run the Node Manager and its services. And they give you a script in the community, which you can find. I might put the link in the show notes if I remember to do that. The Node Manager has to be on 10.3 or later, so you don't need whatever version it is that I'm talking about today. As long as you've got 10.3 or later, this is in the form of a PowerShell script, and they tell you how to use it, what to do with it, what it does, and it's in a little zip file, and it really is small. It's less than 4K. After installation, you've installed it as an admin. You can then later on come in, run the script, change the account to be a non-admin account, which is obviously useful for security policies and so on. The thing is, you have to rerun this script in a number of different situations, such as you might guess, if you reinstall the Node Manager, but also if you get new trust certificates or trust is revoked in some way, or if you add a new automation or web player service that uses a new port. So there are some situations where you'd have to rerun the script. Not many, they are edge cases. But nevertheless, it's not a feature. It's a script, which is nice, it's well documented, but it's certainly not a feature, and it's certainly not the exciting thing that I thought it was. And the reason I got excited about that is that there are times when you want to be able to give somebody admin account without all of the admin privileges. And I thought this was the first step in that, and it would naturally lead on to other things. In Spotfire, generally, the admin, I think, has too much power, and it is not possible in many cases to reduce that power. And I think that's an area that they should look at. So hello, TIBCO. If you'd given me the feature I thought you'd given me, I would have been much more excited. Okay, then just a final mention of password retention in data sources. This is an interesting one. So if you have ever used the library export and import tool to export folders, and some of those folders contain data sources, you will have noticed that the data source password is knocked out by the export tool for security reasons. So when you import the folder into your new or different Spotfire server, you have to re-enter the password. I accept that. I can live with that. I do understand that. You don't want people bypassing security by sharing zips. You don't want that. What you can do now, though, is in the past, forgetting about the export tool, if you wanted to edit a data source for any reason, there were some situations where you had to re-enter the password. Specifically, if you changed the JDBC URL in any way, this meant, especially if you changed the data template, but even if you change it yourself, hand-editing the URL, you had to re-enter the password. And I understand that too. I could live with that. But now you don't have to do that. And this was particularly useful at a number of customers recently where data sources are relatively secure and the passwords are known by as few people as possible. That's perfectly good practice. But it meant that even doing a routine operation on any data source meant that you had to re-enter the password, you had to go and find the password, you had to ask the right person, you had to go through a process to get permission for the password, which took about a week. So just to do a URL data source change or have a tweak or a play, you had to get the password in it and you had to wait a week. So that might not sound bad either. But it meant that sometimes you were fiddling around and you inadvertently did something which required the password. You now have a broken data source and it's offline for a week. So this is really useful in big corporations or corporations where the data is very sensitive and it's a need-to-know basis for the password. Edit the URL without having to re-enter it. And that's fair enough because, you know, if you've got access to the data source as an admin, you're not causing any security breach by changing the URL. The fact that it now retains the password is really good. That will help a lot of you. Maybe not that many, but anybody who it does help will be massively helped by this. I will. This really helps me, especially as an external consultant. You very often don't want, don't need, don't care about passwords, and you are now able to do much more work in that situation as an external without having to be exposed to this. So it's a really good security feature anyway. It's really useful and it saves time. Okay, so that's the end of this short episode about the admin features since 10.3 as we build up to the launch and now a look at 10.10 LTS, the new long-term supported version of Spotfire, which came out just a few short days ago. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.